I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the program, St. Louis Public Radio's Aaron Williams will talk to British artist Jeremy Deller, whose unusual work includes a replica of a cafe designed as a parade float. A retrospective of his work, Jeremy Deller, Joy in People, is currently on display at Contemporary Art Museum St. Louis. We'll also meet Susan Marth, who's doing her part to keep the art of quilting alive and well. She's conceived more than 100 quilting patterns, including one designed to commemorate Abraham Lincoln's 200th birthday. But first, we begin the program today with a larger-than-life production of Carmina Burana. It's coming to the Two Hill Performing Arts Center next week. The production features over 200 singers, dancers, and musicians. The Nashville Ballet, the University of Missouri St. Louis Orchestra and Singers, the Bach Society of St. Louis, and the St. Louis Children's Chorus are all part of the mix. Joining us in studio, Jim Henry, Associate Professor of Music at the University of Missouri St. Louis. He's also director of the University of Missouri Singers. Jim, welcome to the show. Good to see you again.
Great to be with you, Steve, in your beautiful new studio.
Thanks for noticing. It's good to have you here. Joining us on the phone from Nashville is Paul Vasterling. He's the artistic director and CEO of the Nashville Ballet. Paul, nice to have you.
Hi, Steve. Thanks for having us.
And also on the phone, James Richards, the interim dean and professor of music in the College of Fine Arts and Communication at UMSL. He's the conductor of the University of Missouri Orchestra. James, welcome.
Thank you. Great to be with you this morning.
Paul Vasterling, this production is your conception, really. It premiered in Nashville, I think, in 2009. Is it safe to say that if we haven't seen your Carmina Burana, we haven't seen it?
Well, absolutely. I mean, any choreographer would say that, but it is a unique. This music has been choreographed many times, and I kind of came up with my own sort of idea for it, and it all stemmed from the idea of having the singers and the orchestra, the Nashville Symphony, and the Belmont Chorus, which is at a university here, on stage with us, and that was where it kind of all sprung from, this idea of this communal happening between all of these artists. It's kind of how the first seeds of the work.
Uh-huh. James Richards, say something about that, the collaboration of this thing.
The collaboration is extraordinary. It's unprecedented for the university, and I would say really centers around a conversation that began with Dance St. Louis approximately 4 years ago, Dance St. Louis being a partner in the Two Hill, presenting partner. How the Two Hill facility, how the resources of the university and Dance St. Louis might come together for something more than we individually could accomplish. Carmina Burana sort of rose to the top of those possibilities. We were thrilled to engage the Nashville Ballet and all of the other presenting partners that you mentioned earlier in a production that truly will be an extraordinary event.
And Jim Henry, any comments on this part of it?
Well, I can only echo what both of those gentlemen said. It really is an exciting collaboration, and nice to perform this piece in a way that maybe was more in keeping with Karl Orff's original notion of how it might be. And right now you see Carmina so often performed as a concert piece, which it stands up very well in that context. However, to also put this beautiful staging, the dance, the movement, along with all the other people who are involved, it just really, I think it's truer, and it's definitely going to be extremely excited. Uh-huh. I think we're all very excited about it.
Please, all of you, if anyone wants to comment on this, you know, people that might, that the title Carmina Burana might not mean anything to them, have probably heard it anyway.
Yeah, it's some of the most popular music, particularly that the one that was played at the beginning. That's the prologue and the epilogue, and it's been in countless movies, films, and it's played at, I don't know if they play it in St. Louis, but they play it at the Titans games here in Nashville all the time when there's a touchdown. It's amazing.
So, well, we heard it at the end of the Super Bowl. this year.
Well, here in St. Louis, there's a television commercial that's airing right now for the St. Louis Symphony, which features the piece we just heard, and it's gripping. It gets your attention.
Yeah, it really does, and there's something kind of primal about it, about that music, and even as you go into the score, it does have this kind of primal quality, and having the, as Jim was saying earlier, having everyone together is really an amazing sort of this feast for the senses. The other Carmina Burana ballets that I have seen has always usually had the singers or the orchestra to the side, and my goal was to try to bring that forward, so it felt like it was all of one thing. So it hits you pretty well when it happens.
Let me invite her. Go ahead.
Steve, this is Jim Richards. I was just going to attest that Paul's conception is indeed stunning. There are very few pieces, maybe there are no other pieces, that really have established a permanent presence, not only as a classical piece, a concert musical piece, a choreographed piece. It was actually premiered at the Frankfurt Opera and fully staged with costumes and sets. But it also has a presence in the commercial world, in pop media. There are very few pieces of art that stand up all under all of those tests.
I want to invite our listening audience, if they have a question or a comment at any time during this discussion, they're more than welcome to join us here. The area code, the number is area code 314-382-8255. That's 382-TALK. If you have a question or a comment, we're talking about Carmina Burana, which is going to be performed at the Two Hill next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday matinee. Well, it is really a visual spectacle. I personally have never seen it, but I looked at some photographs, Paul, from your production, and it's just the costuming and the staging is just beautiful.
Yeah, we tried to make it, both simple and complex at the same time because of the way I was thinking of having it be, communal with the singers right there behind us. And so, we came up with the designer and I came up with some ideas of how to kind of open it up a little bit where it is exciting and feels large, but it's actually fairly simple. That's always a nice trick to do, is when you can make it both complex and simple at the same time, right?
Well, I'd like you to expound on that a little bit. How do you do that?
Well, Eric Harris is the designer, and he is actually one of the he's one of our faculty members now. At the time, he was in the company when we first did the ballet, and we just sort of sat around and tried to come up with easy ways. So the ballet starts with this very large kind of, I don't want to give too much away, but Fortuna, who is the kind of figure in the music, and we see her as a woman, and she has this gigantic skirt that basically covers the entire space, and the idea of that is that she's, this all-powerful fortune, and the words of the music are, fortune, I am at your mercy at all times, and we are all at the mercy of Lady Fortune, and she pushes us around, and we have no power. So that's how it starts. It's very, very strong and dramatic, and we've used fabric and colors, and trying to go back to what Orff was going for, at least, and he is, when we really talk about it, he's the seeds of all of this. His idea of taking these ancient manuscripts and setting them to kind of contemporary music, but and again, I'll talk about both simple and complex at the same time. His music is very much that way. It's not very much development in it, but it's like this so complicated rhythmically, and makes it very interesting. So
let's take a call. Our number is 382-8255, 382-TALK. We have Ed calling from a cell phone somewhere in the listening area. Hi, Ed. You're on Cityscape.
Hello. How are you?
Doing well. Thank you.
I'm calling from my car phone. I was listening to your guests in the Carmina Burana upcoming festival. I'm looking forward to this. We're going next Friday, my wife and I. My story is very quick, and if you allow me to pass it on, my wife and I were in Prague about 3 or 4 years ago, walking down the street, got a handbill. That night, Carmina Burana was going to be at the same venue that Mozart once conducted at. We go back to our hotel. We ask the concierge to arrange tickets, and she looks at it, she goes, well, it's $14 each. Is that okay? Well, we looked at each other and said, sure. Then she said, do you want to update to the VIP seats? Okay. And that was $2 more each, so give you an idea what things cost in Prague. In any event, we went, had an absolute delightful time, and I am looking forward to this next Thursday.
Thanks so much. Well, I think all the seats at the Two Hill are VIP seats, if I'm correct.
It's a beautiful space.
We're talking, that's Jim Henry, the director of the University of Missouri Singers. On the phone, we have James Richards, conductor of the University of Missouri Orchestra, and Paul Vasterling of the Nashville Ballet, artistic director there. And Paul, can you tell me the process of coming up with your version of this production? I guess it's something you grew up with, we're very familiar with. How did you take it to the next level?
You know, I did know the music and had always kind of had it in my mind to do it. You know, you always say that sort of thing and then you have to do it. And, you know, everybody says, okay, we're going to do it. And you're like, oh, no, we're going to do it. So kind of took a lot of time and studied the music first, which then took me back to the Codex Birana, which are these ancient manuscripts that there were many, many, many of them in the hundreds. And Orff took them and chose 25, I think, to do his piece with. And I really went backwards in looked at the history of these words and what they meant and why they were written. And then it came forward with it. And it was, you know, they were written by these people who were rebellious youth, sort of the beatniks, I suppose, of the times, of medieval times, and they were writing these poems that were rebellious. They were against the establishment.
Satire, and a lot of it against the Catholic Church, isn't that right?
Yeah, they were, and they were called the Galliards, I believe, the name of the folks that did that. And so the poems are all secular in nature, but interestingly enough, at times, Orff writes sort of hymn-like, particularly at the end of the work. There's this big hymn-like thing that happens. So trying to connect all that together in kind of a coherent whole, although it's not a really linear structure, there is this idea of, at least not linear if it's a wheel, but there's not a linear story in it. I kind of went with the moods that he created in each of the pieces, kind of came up with my own deal, which is kind of about redemption and sort of suffering and the idea of ideal love and the balance between ideal love and erotic love. That all is dealt with in his score.
Right. The original, premise of these ancient poems, as I think you brought out, there's no real conventional storyline. Mm-hmm. But the theme of some of these poems were pleasures of the flesh and...
Yeah. And yes, there's pleasures of the flesh. I mean, there's different sections, and one of which is spring, which is kind of lusty and that idea of youth and spring, and then it goes into the tavern, which I kind of, it's called In the Tavern, and everyone's drunk, and, you know, there's a roasting swan, and there's all kinds of metaphor that exist in that, and I kind of took that as sort of lust gone wrong in a way, you know, and then it leads into what's called the Court of Love, and these poems are about idealized love, you know, chivalric love, the love of not touching, you know, and then it kind of resolves with this beautiful, beautiful, I don't know, do you call it an aria, guys? It's called In Trutina, and it's the soprano, and the translation is In the Balance, so it's about the balance between these erotic and chivalric and ideal love, sort of what we're looking for.
I'm caught on the love of not touching.
Right?
I don't want to go into that anymore.
Well, it's about chivalry, you know, and the chivalry of medieval times. There, it was always about, you know, they had these torrid affairs that were not, they didn't touch. So if you think of, like, I don't know, Lancelot and Guinevere for a bad example, but they did touch, but that's another story. You know, they would send these really passionate poems to each other, but they were not completely unphysical, these relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of that is developing this love that is beyond human, I guess, and then, you know, kind of balancing that with the truth of us, which is, you know, the sensual truth of us. So,
So Carmina Burana began as these ancient poems, and then sometime, I guess, it was in the mid 1930s, they were set to music by Carl Orff.
Right. Correct.
What can you, any of you gentlemen, give us a little background on that?
Well, Carl Orff really has two important roles in the history of music. One is he was a traditionally trained composer in the German tradition. He also had a very strong passion and developed a very important role in the history of music education, actually developed a whole series of instruments and a literature to introduce students, young students, to music education, to enable them to participate actively in the performance of music without necessarily having to gain a high technical proficiency on traditional orchestra instruments or voice. So this piece is actually the piece he wrote to his publisher should be, was such a high point in his early career that all other pieces before should be considered student pieces, and his official opus should begin with Carmina Burana. He wrote many pieces that were highly charged in terms of emotion and very colorful, but they were also very theatrical. Even if they're just given a musical performance, you sense the theatrical nature of these works.
Mm-hmm. And Jim Henry, you and I were talking before the program began. If I understood you right, did you make the point that perhaps Paul Westerling's conception of this piece, Carmina Burana, is maybe closer to what Orff had in mind in the beginning, if I understood you correctly?
Yeah, in philosophy, basically, because, you know, his notion, not only of this piece, but, you know, he wrote several pieces that, you know, and kind of developed a philosophy that music should not only be something to be heard, but to be moved to be seen, the theatrics of this piece. As Jim said, it was premiered in Frankfurt at the Frankfurt Opera House. It had costuming, it had theatrics, it had dance, it had movement. So I do feel like this is in keeping, perhaps, you know, obviously the particulars of what's happening in this production, we don't, you know, probably don't line up as much, but definitely the philosophy of how it's being performed, I think, is much more in keeping with Orff's original intention than you often hear it just sort of on a concert stage.
The number for a question or a comment is 382-8255, 382-TALK, and we have Jake from St. Louis on the line, and please join us on Cityscape. Jake, go ahead.
How do you do?
Hi.
I have an interesting story to tell you about the St. Louis premiere of Carmina Burana, which was in 1961. Van Rue Martel conducted the St. Louis Symphony. I had the privilege of being the baritone soloist at that time. And the symphony had great difficulty getting a chorus together. And they reached out to the usual groups, Washington U, St. Louis U, and so on. But no one wanted to take on the challenge except the legend singers and their founder, Ken Billups. They came forward and learned that music. We had 100 people in their chorus, and they were just absolutely extraordinary. So I just wanted to share that with you. That was just a concert performance. I did do the full stage version with the Boston Ballet some years after that. But anyway, I thought your audience might enjoy hearing a compliment about the legend singers.
Thanks, Jake. We appreciate that. Maybe Paul, you want to comment? Jake made the point of over. Talk about the sheer number of artists involved in this thing.
Well, yeah, it is really large, really huge. And frankly, I'd wanted to do it for years here. I mean, I had it on my list, and the pit in Nashville is actually not that big. So we were having trouble, you know, fitting it into the pit, frankly. And what kind of pushed me to say, yes, we're going to do this, is we did the Stravinsky Rite of Spring. And right. I said, well, if we can do the Rite of Spring, then we can do Carmina Burana.
And
it ended up where we had to put some of the instruments up onto the space, which I don't think is the requirement. I think the two-wheel pit is certainly the right size for this. So we didn't have to do that, but that's kind of how it all, you know,
right.
What pushed me into doing it. And then we got, I think the chorus is always, you know, 100 singers. I think we've got 120. Plus, there's a children's chorus in it too, of another large number. And you know, the effects of these, of all these people, and then you, it's just wondrous, actually.
Yeah. And Jim, Jake made the point of the difficulty finding a chorus. He mentioned the legend singer. So what? Do you have any?
Well,
can you relate to that?
It works best with a large chorus. And we're very fortunate that we have both the University Singers and the Bach Society, which I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with, fantastic chorus. So these two choruses are coming together to create the choral sound. And then we have the wonderful St. Louis Children's Choirs also involved for the children's chorus.
We have time for another quick comment from a listener. Pete's on his cell phone. Hi, Pete, you're on the air.
Hello. I'm just sending greetings to Jim and Jim. I'm a musician in town, and I was going to ask Jim Henry about his first experience with Carmina Burana. I believe I was standing next to him performing with him.
Thanks, Pete. Actually, I've never performed the piece as a chorus singer, so I'm very excited to witness this.
Paul, let me ask you, in the short time we have remaining, the show actually opens with a dance piece that's choreographed, or whoever needs to respond to this, the show actually opens with a dance piece choreographed by Dan St. Louis's Michael Utoff with the Madco Dance Company.
Yeah, I've actually not seen the piece, but I'm excited to see it. And, I mean, I know Michael well. He's the reason that we're going to St. Louis. I got him to come down here to see our Carmina Burana. And, you know, he has a long history in dance, and he has his father probably choreographed one of the first versions of it in Chile many moons ago. And he said, you know, I really wanted to do my father's version, but after seeing yours, I would like to do that, which, you know, made my year, really. So I'm really excited to work with Michael.
Dan St. Louis and the University of Missouri St. Louis present the Nashville Ballet, the UMSL Orchestra and Singers, the Bach Society, and the St. Louis Children's Chorus in Carmina Burana. That will be next Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. at the Two Hill Performing Arts Center, a Sunday matinee at 2 o'clock. And Michael Utoff, by the way, is going to be doing some sort of presentation before all those performances as well. We really look forward to it. It's really going to be amazing. We've been talking with Nashville Ballet's Paul Vasterling. Thank you so much, Paul, and we look forward to welcoming you in town.
Thank you, Steve. I'm looking forward to it. I appreciate it.
And James Richards is the conductor of the University of Missouri's Orchestra. Thank you, James.
Thank you so much. We're looking forward to these performances and hope to have great crowds on all the evenings.
And Jim Henry, director of the University of Missouri Singers, is going to be quite an event, and thanks for helping us explain it to everyone.
Thank you, Steve.
Coming up next, a conversation with artist Jeremy Deller, and later, the art of quilting. This is St. Louis Public Radio.